It is straight up at 8 o'clock. Welcome to a magnificent Monday morning in Laguna Beach. It's the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted that you are with us this morning. It is, of course, time. And we do this each and every Monday. The Artist Corner is brought to you by the good folks at the Sawdust Art Festival that now has Sawdust Art classes back. We've been talking about some of these fantastic artists that lend their services and skills to the rest of us. We've got one of them with us today. First, let me introduce you to the Director of Marketing. Fabulous job at the Sawdust Art Festival, Frankie Duchesne. Good morning, Frankie.
Good morning, Ed.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you. How about you?
I'm great, thank you. Did you have a great... I saw you at the parade this weekend. Fabulous. And it was a great time, wonderful time downtown with the parade.
Really, really wonderful parade this year.
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was a great time. And other than that, your weekend filled with the Sawdust Art Festival things, right?
Yes, classes every day on weekends.
All right. So I'm so excited now to meet the person you brought in with you today, because for me, one of the most fascinating skills, one of the most fascinating talents of an artist is glass blowing. As you know, I have a lot of glass pieces at the house. I love glass. And you brought in Marianne Guerra. Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you. How are you,
Ed? I'm having the best day and having the best conversation with you off air. I need to share this with the audience that off air, you had just, right before we went on, and this is, I love when they do this, right before we went on, you told me this fascinating, wonderful thing about, because you surf as well.
Yes.
It was your first love. Surfing was your first love. And you compared that to glass blowing, and the way you described it, as you see a set coming and you get the adrenaline flowing. Share that with us. How is surfing like glass blowing?
Yeah, they're very similar. The movement of water and liquid, glass is molten and it's alive and organic and moving. So, and it's very much like a wave coming in. So it's sort of like glass blowing is really learning how to be with the water and to be aware of its motion and movement. And they're different in the fact that you were with glass blowing, you're working with molten glass and it's about 2,000 degrees. Right. So you've got that element of awareness. But they're very similar. So being able to predict or be aware of how the liquid is moving crucial to being a good glass blower.
As you see a wave, as you're out on the surf and you see a wave, the momentum of it, do you include that? Do you incorporate that as you're blowing glass?
Absolutely.
You're picturing what you just saw, the wave and the moment.
Okay. Absolutely. I mean, I had been surfing now for about 40 years and then glass blowing for about the last 11. So I think that gave me an advantage. Being a surfer and gave me an advantage to glass blowing because I am very much concerned about being part of that. It's kind of a Zen feeling, being part of that movement,
right.
Being part of that glass and actually, you know, just being aware of it, just being with the glass, so to speak.
Right. I love that thought. I love that my glass blower, whoever's blowing the glass that I'm looking at, purchasing or whatever, I love that they have that spirit in it. I love that you incorporate that. So you've been in Laguna most of your life. And 30 years ago, Frankie, the historian will know this, you were a sales associate for John Barber.
Yes. I had worked for John Barber for about 18 summers at the Sawdust, and then when he acquired the property, opened up Studio Arts Gallery, right, at the Pottery Shack area. I worked for him there. They're very good friends of mine, the Barbers. And then down the line, I went to Gavin Heath, and Gavin opened a studio, and I was able to blow glass there and assist Gavin and Muffin, Spencer Devlin, and Marcus Thiesing, and Gavin,
right,
was very instrumental in helping me to become a glassblower, as well as the experience I gained from John Barber.
Right. So when let's talk about John's art and his love of it for a second.
Absolutely.
Did he kind of teach you the love of the glassblowing as well as the actual technical skills? Or some technical skills maybe that you got from him?
Well, the very first time I saw John's work, right. John Barber's work, I fell in love. Okay. His work is very much like Emile Gallet, glassblowers from the 17th century. And I walked straight up to John and said, can I please work for you? And he said, show up on Monday.
Wow, and that's cool.
That was the beginning of the bromance.
way to put yourself out there. Way to put it out, right?
You know, you've got to go for it.
Right.
And so yes, John taught me so much. It's just invaluable information.
Right.
How to sell, how to maybe come out of my introverted self and, speak to people and convey the passion for glass and to make connection. It's really instrumental in my life.
When you say that you seek intrinsic substance, what is it? What is it you're telling us?
Well, I believe that, like Michelangelo, I believe, had said the same thing that when he looked at a piece of marble, that he just took he saw what was there,
right,
and took away what wasn't, what he didn't see. So I think it's the same thing. I believe that this glass has an intricate, like everything has a soul, right? So I just sort of, I envision what I would like to see happen with the glass, and then I execute those moves in order to create that. I do a lot of my creative planning the night before I work, before I fall asleep. I think of my colors, I think of my shapes, and I plan in that way. And I feel like that's a really great way to plan, because a lot of it's like subconscious, and it seems to work really well.
Right. And do you plan so much that it has to be detailed exactly as you saw, or you're a little free flow with it?
Definitely.
Right.
Since the molten glass is organic, I really love being able to sort of meet the glass halfway,
right,
and allow for that magic.
Right.
You know, it's like alchemy and magic.
Right.
And being part of that is such a gift. It's mind blowing. So I really love that. It feels like you're a magician.
Right.
Actually.
Right. I can imagine that it does, and it feels like when we watch you perform, when we watch you demonstrate, I should say, and it really is a performance. When we watch you demonstrate, it does feel like we're watching a magic show take place. I discovered that you're a dog lover as well.
Absolutely.
All three of us in this room are dog lovers. Has anyone asked you to incorporate the ashes of their past loved one? And when you do that, you feel the spirit of the animal. You include that in all of the preparation for the work?
It really is an honor to incorporate cremation ash into glass. I'm a spiritual person. I feel as though when somebody entrust you with such a personal job, you know, personal experience, it's just a blessing.
Right.
And I do incorporate a lot of, I do prayer honestly.
Right.
And I'm just really try to allow the glass to, you know, be itself, and some magical things happen.
Right.
Very magical things. I actually had a beagle mix for about 18 years, and when he passed, I had his ashes, and I incorporated his ashes into a vase, and I was very surprised, because the next day when I took the glass out of the annealer and I took a look at it, this is, sounds really crazy, but it's true. There were three different sides to the vase, and on all three sides, there was Augie.
Wow.
His
it like doesn't sound profile. Crazy at all. I swear that doesn't sound crazy. I could absolutely see that.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And on all three, on one of the two sides, there was a picture of him profile view with like a little ball at the end of his nose and like a little cowboy hat. And he was started, felt like he was saying, hey, Mom, oh, everything's
is,
groovy.
That
you
is
know,
so
we're good.
Cool.
So, yes, it's magical to create cremation glass.
Well, thank you for sharing that with
My
us.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much. I love that. So teaching someone, you're going, you as an instructor, and it's a 2-hour class.
It is 2-hour one-on-one.
What happens, in that 2 hours, and can a complete novice like me learn something substantial?
Definitely.
Okay.
It's a wonderful experience to teach, because when you teach, you have to slow down your process enough to be able to convey that process to an individual, to a person who's perhaps never done it before. So unable to break that process and those steps down, you have to really slow down. And slowing down, you become aware of exactly what you do. And because a lot of us, when we do our daily lives and our daily work, we kind of like get to the point where we're just sort of like streaming through it, you know, and we're maybe not aware of all of those little intricacies. I love teaching. I love having people come into the studio, initially being somewhat fearful.
Mm-hmm. That would be me.
Yeah. It's normal. To be able to, when I sit them down at the bench, to have them sort of slow down and also like breathe, you know, take some nice long breaths. And by, you know, half an hour into the lesson, you can just see how much more relaxed a person is and how much their excitement, it's still there, but it's just a little bit more receptive to learning the process and enjoying the process. Definitely, when you come in to take a lesson, I gauge where you are and meet you where you are as far as your comfort level, and you're able to leave with a good amount of work, you know, some finished pieces, whether you'd like to make a cup or cups or vases or some hearts, perhaps. We can pretty much, you know, send you home with some really, really groovy pieces.
It seems like you would be a magnificent teacher, I swear.
I really enjoy it.
And I imagine when students first enter the booth, they're a little intimidated by the heat. I mean, it's hot, and the glass obviously is molten. It's dangerous. I mean, it's dangerous to just learn, I would imagine.
Right.
So do you have people entering a little with a little hesitation?
Yes.
A little nervousness?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So when I can see that somebody's uncomfortable, to the point they're not really going to be able to enjoy that first initial process of maybe dipping into the furnace, what I'll do is I'll just take the pipe and I'll do those steps for them until I find their comfort level, and then, you know, give them a little bit more of a responsibility with the blowpipes and so forth. But most of the time, when somebody comes in after we've gone through the process of going to the furnace and dipping into the furnace or looking into the furnace, and then going back to the bench and learning how to step into the bench correctly, how to handle the blowpipe, and so forth, most of the time, within about 20 minutes to half an hour, their level of comfort has increased immensely, and they're able to then, you know, go on with the lesson and maybe even do a little bit more than they thought they could initially.
Okay. All right. And I noticed that the gloves are really thick and protective and come up fairly high. So I don't imagine that there's a I know that it seems hot, but I would feel comfortable with the glovage, let's say.
Okay, so we don't
use, you don't do
don't gloves?
I've seen them use gloves. Why have I seen them use
gloves? Only when you're placing a blown piece into the annealer, which is where we place our finished work.
Okay.
It's about 900 degrees in the annealer. So, you really need the dexterity of your fingers to turn the blowpipe. And so we can't wear gloves. But we do have sleeves. We do have a sleeve that's fits over our...
Maybe that's what I'm talking about.
Our arm, yeah.
Thanks for the rescue there.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Well, it's I think you'll have to come down and take a class.
I will have to. Yeah, I can't now. I mean, yeah, there's no way that I can't now. If our listeners wanted to go online, and other than going to Sawdust and seeing you work and going there, if they wanted to go online and find some of your stuff, where could they go?
Yes, artglassbymarianne.com is my website. And also I have a lot of really great photos on Instagram. So it's artglassbymarianne.
Okay.
And thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, my goodness. Frankie, when is she teaching next at the at Sawdust?
So Marianne is teaching this coming Saturday. She teaches, we offer glassblowing classes every weekend. And she rotates between, she teaches this weekend, the following weekend will be Spencer Devlin, and then Marianne's back again. But every weekend on Saturdays at 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And that is a one-on-one, two-hour private lesson.
I've got to do it.
Excellent.
I've got to do it.
Looking forward to it.
All right, I can't wait. And again, you've got other artists teaching other things.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Saturday, you've also got Seascape and Acrylics with Carol. Am I pronouncing Carol's last name right? Bowler?
Yes, that's correct. We do have a number of new classes coming up, especially this week. We have Carmen Gundelach, who's starting to teach her Intro to Sewing classes, where you can get onto a sewing machine, which I have never personally used. They kind of intimidate me, so I would love to take that class.
Right.
And then you also have Shawn Poschel. Shawn Poschel is launching her very first class this week. It's Colorful Landscape Postcard in Glass, so it's a fused glass postcard. It's really fascinating. It's kind of... So it's... That's happening this Friday from 1 p.m. to 3:30 p.m.
And I think that all of us that are not artists, we are a little intimidated by learning from a professional like yourself, such a skilled professional, and the lineup of skilled professionals that you have. You got Robert Jones with the pottery wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You have like the real deal teaching us.
We do.
I don't think that we should be intimidated. I think we should go in like wholehearted, just walk in. Yeah, teach me something.
And I do want to mention, we also have Gabe Sullivan. He offers the cyanotype photography.
Okay.
He's offering that more often now. He even has a workshop next week. He's fantastic. He's a great instructor. And cyanotypes go back years. I mean, it's an ancient type of, not ancient, but it's an old type of photography that goes back over 100 years. So it's really fascinating.
Exciting.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic stuff. And again, if you want to make a reservation, and you should, because a lot of these classes do sell out quickly, go to sawdustartfestival.org.
Yeah.
All right. Frankie Duchesne, thank you so very much for introducing me to Marianne Guerra. Marianne, it was a delight speaking with you this morning.
My pleasure.
And I'll look forward to talking to you many times again.
Absolutely.
All right, Frankie, thank you so very much.
Thank you so much.
Artist Corner, 8:20 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.